You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Have you ever wondered who the Mary was from Bloody Mary? If the Loch Ness Monster was real, or if Ouija boards actually worked? On each episode of the family-friendly Unspookable, we look at the histories and mysteries behind your favorite scary stories, myths, and urban legends to get the real stories behind the scares. Want to solve your next mystery? Find and follow Unspookable now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like, who art Ed?
I'm trying to spice it.
Who art it? Mr. Wood, art Ed me.
Good. Either way, it's ambiguous. It works on so many levels.
I know.
That's off to a great start.
Welcome to Who Arted, where we explore visual arts in an audio medium. I'm your host, Kyle Wood. And for this week's Fun Fact Friday, we're going to be learning a little bit more about day-glow and fluorescent colors. Now, the history of day-glow colors actually is really interesting. In 1933, a chemistry student at the University of California by the name of Bob Switzer fell and hit his head. He was knocked unconscious, and when he awoke from the coma, his vision was blurry. The doctor suggested he avoid bright light while he was recovering, and so his father turned the basement into a dark room. Cannot overstate how much I love the irony of the fact that the brightest, boldest day glow colors came from a man who was trying to recover in darkness. But this setting actually sparked an interest in him for ultraviolet light. Bob and his younger brother, Joe, a magician and chemist, they shared an interest in ultraviolet lights or black lights. It's called a black light because the ultraviolet light is outside the visible light spectrum, so we can't really see the light energy being emitted from it. Now, Joe was interested in fluorescence and black light for his magic act. He basically wanted to put fluorescent pigments on a headdress on his assistant, and then under the black light, he would take the headdress off and move it like one way while she danced the other way, making it appear as though like her head detached from her body. Now, nothing against magic or magicians, but I think we can all agree there are slightly more noble uses for these highly visible pigments and colors, and that's why we see them today on the reflective safety vests that people wear while they're working out in the streets, whether it's construction workers or crossing guards. We also see these ultra bright colors on traffic cones. And I keep saying they're ultra bright. And one of the things I think is worth understanding is what makes these colors so bright. Now, I've done previous episodes about how color is basically different wavelengths of light. Certain pigments and colored things will absorb some portion of the visible light spectrum. White light has all the visible light in it, and each color we see is basically a certain wavelength of light, often referred to as like the dominant wavelength. When we see something, let's say it's orange, what we're really seeing is the orange wavelength of light reflected off of there. Now, what makes fluorescent colors sort of special is they are not just working with the visible light spectrum, which is sort of in the middle range of the light spectrum. They are also reflecting ultraviolet light rays, and that higher energy wavelength of the light spectrum. And so basically we're getting the visible light dominant wavelength, but we're also getting the energy from that ultraviolet light coming in. And so it becomes an even brighter, more intense hue. Now, to be honest, a lot of this science is a little bit over my head. And so I did look at different resources, and where better to go than the Dayglo Color Corporation's website, because they do actually have a wonderful, easy to follow history as well as an explanation on this fluorescent color theory. But they basically explain it saying your typical color is going to reflect like 90% of that light energy, whereas fluorescents are giving up to 200 or even 300%. And so it's that cumulative effect where it's like this highly reflective and more of that light energy radiating out from it or reflected off of it that is making it such a bright, bold, intense, and eye-catching hue. Now, if we go back to that story of the brothers who gave us Dayglo colors, in 1934, they were selling paints basically for magicians. It was this niche thing. And in 1935, they began making dramatic special effects scenes. It was basically decorations for movie theaters. They called them midnight paintings. And basically, they had a normal light that could be switched to a black light to make the fluorescent paints glow and alter the scene. It was a novelty product for a while. And then in 1936, they started to create the first paints that reflected wavelengths of the visible light while also utilizing the UV wavelengths. And this produced those ultra bright and intense colors, even in white light. Typical fluorescent colors needed that black light, that ultraviolet light. And the effect was not so dramatic in white light. What made these colors special was they started to develop colors that would look ultra bright and intense even in the daylight. And that's why they called it Dayglow. It's because they worked and had that same vibrant intensity even in daylight conditions. Now, at first, Dayglo colors were basically used for advertisements to make them a little bit more eye-catching on billboards and things like that. But they found a new use in World War II as the military used the pigments to make safety equipment, you know, flags and signals that would be visible from planes in the air, even at night. Now, as a child of the 90s, I can tell you Dayglo colors, or as I always used to refer to them, neon colors, they're just rad. They are fun. We see them on psychedelic posters. We see them today in advertisements. We see them in all sorts of contexts. But I also got to say, they have kept with that legacy of making things safer in the world around us. The colors are not just bright and bold for the sake of being fun and eye-catching, but Dayglo colors also make people more visible in all sorts of contexts, and it helps to keep them safer, which I gotta say, in the end, is pretty rad.
This concludes this week's episode of Who Arted, part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. If you found this tolerable, please leave a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. You can find images of the work being discussed this week and every week on social media at Who Arted Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and of course on the website whoartedpodcast.com. Podcast done.